Take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4 this morning. The verses we're going to read out of Ephesians chapter 4 are verses 28 through 32 this morning. I'm going to read aloud as you read silently. That's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 28 through 32. As you're finding your place, would you please stand in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for this passage, Father. What a remarkable, powerful passage that we just read today. Now, Father, I pray as our pastor comes to us and preaches to us this morning that you'd anoint him with thy Holy Spirit power for the task ahead. Use him to help us. But Holy Spirit, anoint us with thy Holy Spirit too. Convict us with thy Holy Spirit. Use the Holy Spirit to help us as the hearers this morning too. And Father, if there's somebody in the room that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, their forgiveness for their sins, I pray they would settle that before they leave this room today. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, please know and notice that your chair has been wired to 220 volts. Here's what happens. If your cell phone goes off during the service, you will be electrocuted. So make sure it is turned off or to vibrate. Help us there, please. Would you look in your Bibles this morning? I need you to keep your Bible open today to where we were in that scripture. Would you look at verse 28 of Ephesians chapter 4? Look at that verse. The first word is what, please? Look at verse 29. What's the first word there, please? Now go to verse 31, and the word is, did you know the Bible's talking here about habits? When it says in verse 28, let him that stole steal no more. Now you would think, don't you think that's kind of basic? Right? Don't take what doesn't belong to you. Be a good verse for Congress, wouldn't it? But don't you think it's just kind of basic? But it's something that can become a habit in a person's life, taking what's not yours. Let him that stole steal no more. Brother Moravio, tell these people out here in the foyer to listen and not talk, please. There's not a social hour out there. Let's pay attention. Preaching's going on. Let him that stole steal no more. It's talking about this thing about our habits. And you know how it tells you to conquer a bad habit? Just let it go. Next verse talks about the way we talk. We're not supposed to let any bad words come out of our mouths. So it's talking about controlling the way you speak. You know, James, the book of James, says if you can control your tongue, you can control your entire body. Show me a person who can control their mouth, and the Bible says, and I'll show you a person who can control their entire life. And here's how you do that. Let it go. What you're saying, words, be careful what you say with your words. Let the bad words go in your life. Now look down at verse number 31. Now he's talking about something even more serious. He said, let all bitterness, let it go. In fact, he says, let it be put away from you. That's why it's a let it go principle here. But whenever God repeats something, it's always for emphasis. And the products, the byproducts of bitterness are those things there. Wrath and anger, that's two different types of anger. Wrath is that kind of anger that's just right under the surface, always ready to go. Doesn't take much, and a person just loses it. Anger is that kind of thing in a person's life that builds more slowly, but they still get angry. That's a byproduct often of bitterness, the wrong kind of anger. Clamor is argumentativeness. They argue all the time about something. Then he speaks there of evil speaking. That's bad words again. And then the last thing is malice. Malice is simply this: I'm going to get even with you. You know, there are people in this world today who are going to get even with people because of what someone else did to them. That's malice. Revenge. I'm going to get you. And if I can't get to you, then I'm going to make everybody around me miserable because somebody did something wrong to me. Those are all byproducts: anger, wrath, clamor, evil speaking, malice. Those are all byproducts of the bitterness. And the Bible says, here's how you fix bitterness in your life. Just let it go. Now, when we look at that, we think to ourselves, well, that's just a whole lot easier said than done. But in reality, the reason I need you to keep your Bibles open is because the verses here that are between these things and after these things tell us how to just let things go in life. Now, people, look at me. You got some things you just need to let go. We accumulate things too much in our lives. Just look at your garage. A lot of us, our garage is a microcosm of our heart and our life. We just accumulate things. I mean, what? Look, if you don't need it, you shove it in the garage. After a while, you can't even park your car in there anymore. So then you have a garage sale and sell your junk to somebody else. And what do? They take it home and put it in their garage. Then they have a garage. See, there's really only a few items that people own today, and people just keep selling it to everybody else. It's like a fruitcake. There's really only one fruitcake, and people just keep giving it to someone else, and it gets passed around. Junk's like that. So people, things in our lives, you know. Look at me. You need to learn how to let some things go in your life. Now, I'm not talking about good things. I'm not talking about letting go things that you shouldn't let go. Things of faith, things of truth, things of righteousness, things of character, things of commitment. Don't let that go. Well, I'm just going to walk off on this. No. Don't walk off on the people who need you. Don't just let those kind of things go. I'm talking about things in our lives that ought to go, that have to do, listen, with our habits, our mouth, the way we talk, the bitterness that comes into our lives, that plants itself like a seed because of something that happens. And then Hebrews says, springing up thereby defiles many, and bitterness never stays contained. When the Bible likens it to a weed, there's a reason for that. It never stays. Weeds don't stay contained. You don't have one weed. You don't. Unless you got a prescription in a pot. But I'm not talking about that this morning. You don't just have one weed. You don't. Because one produces another that produces another that produces... Yes? And bitterness is what produces wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. It grows up into things. Well, I tell you, Pastor, I know I need to let it go. No, you need to let it be put away from you, along with the bad habits, along with these things. But how do we let it go? Look in your Bibles to verse number 30. By the way, before we get to that verse, can I ask you a question this morning? Do you want to let some of these things go? Do you want to? We're waiting for that heavenly God removal surgical thing where God just comes. People say, boy, if the Lord will just take that away from me. You know, the truth is, He doesn't take anything you don't give Him. You know, in the temple, when they came to the temple and they offered a sacrifice, the priest didn't tear it away from them and take it. They gave it to Him. It was an offering of willingness. Same is true today for Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. God isn't going to take anything away from you that you're not willing to turn loose of. You have to be willing to let it go. But bad habits get entrenched into our character. Wrong speaking, the things that we say become a regular habit with us in our lives. And my friend, you think bitterness can't just get rooted into your life? In Acts chapter 8, the Bible calls it the gall of bitterness. And gall in the Bible was not only a poison, but also a narcotic. Some people are poisoned by their bitterness, and some people are addicted to it. They live on their bitterness. But at some point, you and I have to make a decision. We're willing to let it go. We're waiting for that heavenly transplant where God is just going to rip everything up out of our lives and take it away from us and make it all go away. Wrong. He'll take what you give Him. So before we talk about how to let some things go, can we understand this morning? You have to be willing to let things go. You have to be willing to turn loose of these things. You have to be willing to say, this is wrong. I don't want that in my life anymore. That's not the way I want to act. That's not how I want to live. I don't want to be addicted or have the habitual pattern in my life of these sorts of things. I don't want to talk like this anymore. I don't want to live with bitterness. And my friend, who wants to live with the only chemical that destroys its own container and that pollutes every relationship in your life? But we got to be willing to let it go. So then how do we do this? Quickly, now look there at verse number 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You know how you let some things go in your life? Number one, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. The word grieve in the Bible means to cause sorrow. What it's talking about is limiting the working of the Holy Spirit in your life, because He is a Holy Spirit. He's always trying to lead us to do what the Bible says and to do what's right in our life. When you say no to God, you grieve the Holy Spirit and you limit His working. Now, if you'll notice the verse, it says, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. The person of the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you the moment you accept Christ as your Savior. And He is there as the seal of your salvation, and He's there till the day of redemption. That's the day when God comes to get us, to either take us up to be with Himself or raise our bodies from the grave, one or the other. In other words, sealed by the Holy Spirit, secure by the Holy Spirit. It means when you're saved, you're always saved. It means you're sealed by the Spirit of God, kept by the Spirit of God, and His presence in you will be permanent from the moment of salvation till you die or Jesus comes to get you. But His working is not permanent. And when we decide we're not going to do what the Bible says, we grieve Him and He withdraws His working, not His presence, but His working in our lives. And ladies and gentlemen, you hear me this morning. As we said in my Sunday school class this morning, the Holy Spirit is the agency of God on this earth today. It is through the Holy Spirit that God works in our lives. It's through the Holy Spirit using the perfect Word of God that He begins to mold and shape and make us. We all with open face beholding us in the glass, the glory of the Lord, the Bible says, are changed into that same image even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You take this book, and a Christian who's willing to take this book and put it into their life, the Holy Spirit inside of them will take that book and then start to shape and mold and make you like Jesus. And you know what will happen? You'll have to let go of some habits. You'll have to let go of some incorrect speaking. You'll have to let go of bitterness. Jesus walked this earth and was mistreated, came into His own, and His own received Him not, but He was never bitter in one moment in His life. But it's the work of the Holy Spirit that does that. That's how you can just let it go. Now, of course, for the work of the Holy Spirit to take place, He needs to be there. That's salvation. You receive this person of the Holy Spirit the moment you receive Christ as your Savior. The Holy Spirit comes to indwell you and live inside of you. And He never leaves because He's the seal of your redemption. And He's there to work if we'll allow Him to do it. So, my friend, the most important thing for you this morning is this. In order to let some things go, you need to accept Christ as your personal Savior. You need to know that you are certain you have received Christ, and it is according to what the Bible says salvation is, which is, I am a sinner, Jesus is the Savior. He died to pay for my sins. I trust Christ alone to save me. Ask Him to do so, and the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then the Spirit of God comes to live inside of you. But have you noticed that as a Christian, it's still kind of difficult sometimes to just let some things go? You ever notice how sometimes things accumulate in your heart and in your life? You can still develop bad habits. You can still have a mouth that's out of control. You can still allow bitterness in your life as a child of God. And the only reason that's so is because I've grieved the Holy Spirit. Because the closer you get to the Holy Spirit, what does He do? The Holy Spirit produces in me the fruit of the Spirit, which is love and joy and peace and gentleness and meekness and faith and temperance and patience and godly kindness. All the qualities that affect every area of my actions, my associations, my attitude, my habits, everything about my life is affected by the working of the Holy Spirit in me. And then you can let things go. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Now look, it doesn't take much to grieve Him. The Holy Spirit is just as much God as God the Father and God the Son, but the Holy Spirit is also very sensitive. And it doesn't take much in our thinking, our talking, our actions, or our lack of obedience to grieve Him. Remember in the Bible, the oil in the Bible is a symbol of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And when they took that oil and they put it in a lamp and then they lit it, the burning of the oil was a symbol of the working of the Holy Spirit. When 1 Thessalonians 5 says, quench not the Spirit. Presence still there, working not. That's what happens when we grieve the Holy Spirit. We stop His working, and guess what? You don't want to let go of things. All of a sudden, things that were bad habits now are just, well, I mean, nobody's perfect, so here we go. Then all of a sudden, the mouth starts to get out of control. And things that happen to us now that used to just sort of, not, it would just kind of bounce off of us before. No. Now they stick in our hearts and they become those seeds of bitterness that then grow up. And then all of a sudden, we've got temper problems. And now we've got argumentativeness about us. And there's arguing in our homes and our families and our lives and with our friends. And everything starts. And then next thing you know, you get evil speaking and we start talking about people and gossiping, carrying on like unholy heathens. Then we get, I'm going to get even with the world mentality. And guess what happens? We think, well, I need to get control of these habits in my life. No, you need to stop grieving the Holy Spirit of God. And let Him work in your life. Verse 32, here's the next thing you do to let it go. I love the Bible. It's so practical. Verse 32, and be ye kind one to another. And the next thing is this, tenderhearted. You need to get a tender heart about things. In the Bible, it calls having a hardened heart. The word hardened in the Bible is talking about being calloused. I remember there's a man in our church many years ago had a well drilling business, and he had the most calloused hands of any man I've ever seen. We went up to Hayfork. Remember that, Brother Robbio, Brother Evans? We went up to Hayfork and went rappelling. The stupid action of tying a rope around yourself with a clip and jumping off a cliff. And I call it, right, bro, that's stupid. Now, if you think that's fun, you know, why don't you get a handkerchief and jump out of an airliner? I mean, that doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. But everybody else is wearing gloves because the rope has to kind of slide through one hand and do that sort of thing. He didn't have to have gloves. He just got up there, went down that, never even bothered him because his hands were so calloused. Because there was no feeling in them. You know what happens to us after a while? We get calloused. We get calloused by sin. And we get calloused just by life. And after a while, we lose our tenderheartedness. Well, it's just been, you know, Pastor Johnson, after you've been alive for a while and been treated some of the ways I've been treated, you'd understand that. I'd understand it, but I know this. We have to keep a tender heart to the things of God. And we have to keep a tender heart in life, because if you get calloused, my friend, there's not much the Spirit of God can get through to get to you. See, listen to this passage. I want to have you turn there this morning. Israel had turned away from God. Judgment came. God raised up a prophet named Ezekiel, who was still in Israel, though most of the nation was taken to captivity. And Ezekiel's job was to preach to those captives who were left, who still refused to obey God. In fact, God even told Ezekiel, I'm sending you to a nation that's not even going to listen to you. And he said, and I wish I could tell you, Ezekiel, that they were a nation that didn't understand your language, but it's my own people and yours too. And you're going to preach to them, and they're not going to listen to a word you say, but I still want you to tell them. Later on in Ezekiel, here's what God said to the nation of Israel. They shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof and all the abominations thereof from thence, and I will give them one heart. And I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. You know what God told them? He said, I'll give them a heart transplant. I'll take that old hardened heart out of there, and He said, I'll put one in that's fleshy and soft again. Before Saul became king, God said, if you'll do what I tell you, Saul, and obey me right here, here's what will happen. As soon as you turn around and do what I say, I'll give you another heart, Saul. David saw it in Psalm chapter 51 when he said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." If we're not careful, our lives will become hardened and calloused, whether it's by sin and the fact that we just keep working against the Holy Spirit, or whether it's in our lives, just life, things that happen to us, the situations and circumstances of life. After a while, we don't have a tender heart anymore. And you know what happens? We have a really hard time letting go of something. We start accumulating things. Married people. Easy, isn't it? Couples come in the office sometime for some counseling, and I'll say, "What's the problem?" Anytime they start and their problems go back longer than 24 hours, then I know they've been letting things accumulate in their marriage. I've seen people go back 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. "You remember what you did 25 years ago to me?" Blah, 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 blah. And they start, I'm thinking, man, I don't remember what happened last week. How could they remember what happened 25 years ago? Of course, that's because I'm a man and men have short-term memory. Unless it has something to do with food or football. One of the two, then we're pretty good at that point. But then I think, I always stop and I say, "Well, how could you come up with that? 12 years ago, you remember not getting a rose on your anniversary? You remember that? Unbelievable." Then I always ask them, "What did I preach last week?" "Can't remember that." But anyway, the point is, it's amazing how they accumulate things. Because, listen to me, because they've got a hardened heart. Be ye kind one to another. Tender hearted. Oh, by the way, the closer you get to God, the closer you get to the heart of God, the more He does this tenderizing on the heart issue. Because you know what? Aside of the issue of sin, which is a big enough issue in hardening our hearts by itself, aside of that, just going through life, you know, you see somebody and you think, "Oh, that guy's nothing but a bum. Like a person, what is wrong with him?" And you just go through life. You're standing in line and someone walks up and stands in front of you. And you think, "Am I invisible?" Or my favorite one, 10 items or less. And they got a cart full. Then I think, well, there's public education for you. Can't read that cotton picking sign. And I think to myself, you know, after a while, you go to pull in a parking lot at a parking space, someone cuts you off and takes your parking space. Now, there's 50 other ones in the parking lot, but that was yours. What is the matter with people anyhow? A couple of days like that, you're going to need a heart transplant. And then, you know what? Listen to me. And you can't let things go. And then anger comes, bitterness, etc. You understand? You got to get a tender heart. Okay, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You get close enough to God and He will tenderize your heart for you. But you're going to probably need that every day. I don't know how you are, but I am. I think sometimes, boy, I shouldn't be in the ministry. I'm getting hardened towards some of these things. No, I need God to do a tenderizing on my heart is what I need. And then, of course, the last thing to let things go is there in verse 32, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another." You need to apply forgiveness. You know what we don't understand about forgiveness? Number one, it's a process. It's not an event. We think if I say, "I forgive you," that's forgiveness. No, that's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is a process. It's something you're going to have the habit of doing in your life. And every time it comes up in this matter, you've decided by the grace of God, and if it's anything anyone's done to you, no matter what it is, you should be willing to offer forgiveness, whether they ask for it or not, just so you can keep your heart right about things. And then you forgive. That's the parable of the master there in Matthew 18, where the disciple asked him, "How many times do I have to forgive my brother?" And Peter said, "Is 7 good enough?" Jesus said, 70 times 7, 490 times. By the way, that's per person. Per offense. He was trying to teach them the practice of forgiveness. But not only do we need to understand forgiveness is a process and not an event, forgiveness is not about what you did to me. Look at me. It's not about what you did to me. Verse 32 says, "Even as God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven you." See, my forgiveness of Brother Evans, and I got a lot to forgive this man for. My forgiveness of Brother Evans has nothing to do with Brother Evans and whatever he does or doesn't do. It has to do with this. When I need to forgive him, I need to remember how much I've been forgiven by my God. And for Jesus' sake, he has forgiven me more, I guarantee you, than he'll ever do to me in my life. Forgiveness, we get this idea that forgiveness is based on them. What they did, whether or not they asked for forgiveness, whether or not they're really sincere. Get on their knees and crawl and beg. All it does is get them down to your level. It's not about him, and it's not about what he's done. It's about me and what I did to God, and God, for Jesus' sake, was willing to forgive me. So then, see, I can't help but forgive him. And if I do, guess what happens? There's a lot of things you can let go in life, like bad habits. Well, I tell you what, I'm doing this now in my life because, see, when I was a kid, here's what happened. Forgiveness will clear all that up, and now you can stop making excuses for the habits you have and just let them go. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. That's why receiving the Holy Spirit at salvation reminds you you've been forgiven the sin debt of hell for the sake of Jesus Christ. Whatever he is, that same parable of Matthew 18, remember the man that owed $250 million, went into the king. The king wanted his money, and he said, but king, I can't pay that, but please give me time. He didn't ask for absolution of the debt. He just asked for time. And in a moment of mercy, the king cleared the debt. He said, take it off the books. It's done. That man walked out of the presence of his king, forgiven a debt he could never repay. And in just a moment, he was given that. He steps outside, meets his friend, and he owes him $2. By the way, you do owe me $2. He owes me $2. He said, give me my $2. And the friend says, oh, I don't have time, but if you give me time, I'll pay you back. Same speech his buddy made just a moment ago, $250 million man. But now this man who's been forgiven so much won't forgive him for $2 worth. Whew. The king finds out he's not happy, throws him in the debtor prison. Costs him greatly. You know why? Because he wouldn't forgive $2 worth. Now you hear me, and you've heard me say this before. Everything anybody does to you is $2 in comparison to what you did to God by nailing Jesus Christ to the cross. And he forgave you for Jesus' sake. You have no right not to forgive others. And that's why we won't let things go. That's where the bitterness comes from. There's no other solution to bitterness but forgiveness. There is no other solution. It isn't what anyone says, does, or doesn't do. That is no solution. Stop this Dr. Phil Oprah foolishness that talking about it's going to make it better. It won't fix anything if you won't let it go. And you'll let it go if you'll forgive for Jesus' sake, just like God forgave you. Just like that, you're clear and you're good. Say, okay, that works for the past. How about the present? They keep hurting me. And did you need God's forgiveness this morning? You're probably going to need it tomorrow. And I would imagine you're going to need it the day after that. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know the forgiveness of God is there already in advance for you. So whatever is done in the past is done, covered, and whatever you need in the present is there, and whatever you need in the future is prepared for you. And that's the great forgiveness of God, and that's exactly how you look at it. You just keep putting it away from you. That's why he says, let it all be put away from you. Because you really do grant biblical forgiveness instead of that lip service. Well, I told him I forgave him. Yeah, you said that, but you didn't let it go. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. His work helps us to let it go. Keep a tender heart by staying close to God. That heart will help you to let it go. Practice forgiveness biblically. And then you can let all that stuff go. And guess who that benefits? You. You conquer those habits, you get your mouth under control, and you let the bitterness and all that be put away from you. And a restored sweet spirit is placed once again in your heart and your life. And you actually have a little joy instead of looking like you got baptized in grapefruit juice. It's good stuff, folks. Let's let it go this morning. Let's stand our feet, please.